Welcome to JW Broadcasting. What do we have in store for you? Here are some highlights. Dee Dee Brown lost her daughter in an unimaginable tragedy. How did Jehovah comfort her? Racial and national prejudice is hard to overcome for some people. We'll go to Greece and see a beautiful example of impartial love in action. And our new song reminds us that when we make time for Jehovah, we feel His presence in our life. This is JW Broadcasting for March 2022. There's no doubt that we're living in critical times, hard to deal with. Just as the Apostle Paul prophesied under inspiration in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Many times we've read Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and Revelation chapter 6. But who would ever have known how deeply a pandemic, so-called natural disasters, violence, and unrest would affect us economically, physically, and even emotionally? Some of you, dear friends, face unimaginable hardships. Many have experienced loss of loved ones, imprisonment, physical abuse, sickness, financial problems, and sometimes a number of these or other circumstances all at the same time. You, dear brothers and sisters, are in our prayers. With this in mind, the theme for our program is, In Difficult Times, Jehovah Always Comforts. A scripture that's become familiar to Jehovah's people is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of tender mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trials, so that we may be able to comfort others in any sort of trial with the comfort that we receive from God. The Study Bible says this regarding the expression, the Father of tender mercies. The Greek noun rendered tender mercies is here used to describe a feeling of compassion or pity for others. God is called the Father or the source of tender mercies because compassion emanates from Him and is part of His nature. Such tender feelings move Him to act mercifully in behalf of His faithful servants who are suffering tribulation. Regarding the phrase, the God of all comfort, it continues. The Greek noun here rendered comfort literally means a calling to one's side. It conveys the idea of standing next to a person, helping or encouraging him when he's undergoing trials or feeling sad. God uses His powerful active force to give comfort and help in situations that from a human viewpoint seem hopeless. Think about what that means. Jehovah wants us to know that whatever we face, He is by our side, helping us when we're undergoing any sort of trial. No, He did not promise that He'd remove our trials. Rather, He eases our misery or grief whenever we undergo difficulties. What a beautiful word picture of God standing next to us, especially when things seem hopeless. We invite you to do a personal study project. Using the publication Research Guide for Jehovah's Witnesses or the Watchtower Online Library, do a word search on comfort. You'll be drawn even closer to Jehovah and appreciate His unmatched desire and ability to comfort. Jehovah also inspired Paul to show how he would stand by us to comfort us. Notice Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For all the things that were written beforehand were written for our instruction, so that through our endurance and through the comfort from the Scriptures, we might have hope. Comfort from the Scriptures. Time limits us from going into all the ways that the Bible does this. But let's take some examples. A scripture that Jehovah's people have often meditated on in recent times is found in Jeremiah chapter 29. When Jehovah inspired Jeremiah to convey his message to the Jews, they had been taken from Jerusalem and were captives in Babylon. They were downhearted. But even while in captivity, Jehovah provided a comforting message. Notice his words in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. When 70 years at Babylon are fulfilled, I will turn my attention to you. God told these Jewish exiles that they would remain in captivity for a long time. Then he made clear to them that he had a peaceful future in mind. The latter part of that verse says, and I will make good my promise by bringing you back to this place. In verse 11, he says, I well know the thoughts that I am thinking toward you, declares Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God did make good on his promise to those Israelites. He let them know that their future was to be a bright one. Regarding Jeremiah 29:11, one commentary states, it is difficult to find a more wonderful promise anywhere in Scripture that expresses the tender compassion of Yahweh, Jehovah, toward these exiles and setting before them at last a real reason for optimism and expectation. Jehovah's promise strengthened men such as Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Jehovah reassured the Jews by repeating his promise at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 17. And there is a hope for your future. Your sons will return to their own territory. Sure enough, just as Jehovah foretold, Babylon was conquered by the Persian king Cyrus, who allowed the exiled Jews to return to their homeland. After 70 years of captivity, they were back in Jerusalem. Jehovah made good on his promise. What does that have to do with us today? The fulfilled promises of Jehovah assure us that his promises to us will come true in spite of surrounding circumstances. As he said, I will make good my promise. How comforting to know that. But we know that the greatest expression of Jehovah's comfort is his only begotten Son, Jesus. During his time on earth, he gave people hope. Jesus engaged in a marvelous ministry, healing the sick, performing powerful works, and most important, teaching people about God's kingdom. However, the greatest expression of hope to us humans is Jesus' ransom sacrifice. Through his inspired word, we can see that Jehovah assures us that he not only understands what we face, but also desires to console and strengthens us. Our loving Heavenly Father especially watches over all who endeavor to do His will, but in all of His mercy, He also draws humble people who may not yet know Him. How many of us were in dire straits only to be introduced to the truth and to get to know Jehovah at the right time? That was no coincidence. That's a consequence of Jehovah's love, and his desire to give people comfort through the hope he provides. Dear brothers and sisters, as we get closer to the Great Tribulation, we will face more distressing circumstances, and during the Great Tribulation, our trust in Jehovah must be solid. We need to be sensitive and receptive to the ways in which he consoles and strengthens us. We need to keep in mind what Paul says at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, perhaps even memorizing it. Jehovah is a God who comforts us in all our trials. Some time ago, we interviewed two longtime members of the United States Bethel family, Brother Gerald Grizzle, a helper to the Personnel Committee, and Brother Sam Robertson. These two brothers served as traveling overseers for many years prior to coming to Bethel. Brother Grizzle has served at Bethel since 1978, and Brother Robertson has served here for nearly 20 years. They've been assigned by the governing body to assist them in shepherding the United States Bethel family. Shepherding the Bethel family, you may ask? After all, Bethelites don't have any distressing trials. Listen to what our dear brothers have to say. Brother Grizzle, what are some of the challenges that members of the Bethel family face?
The worldwide Bethel family is a representation of the brotherhood. By that, I mean that just as 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 says, they face the same kind of sufferings being experienced by the entire association of our brothers in the world. Some deal with the serious health problems, but they continue to serve. Others have concerns over aging parents, and some have to give up their beloved Bethel service. Still, others contend with bouts of depression. But the spirit of these dear brothers and sisters impels them to have the determination not to allow these challenges to dominate them. Rather, their faith in Jehovah strengthens their resolve to focus on their assignments.
Thank you for that insight, Brother Grizzle. Brother Robertson, how have you been able to comfort such ones?
When we find out a Bethelite is going through a tragedy, there are four things that we do. Number one, we pray for them and develop specific spiritual points according to their needs. And that's before we make the call. Number two, when we actually make the call, we really listen. And I don't mean we just listen with our ears. We try to listen with our hearts. We try to feel what they feel. We try to have compassion. Number three, when we use God's word to remind them they're not facing their crisis alone, this is very effective. As an example, we called on a brother recently who was going through a great trial, and we shared, among other things, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7 and 12. Let's take a look at that. I have certainly seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their outcry because of those who forced them to work. And note the ending point here. It's very beautiful. Jehovah doesn't say, I know how my people feel. He says, I well know the pains of my people. And then in giving assurance, dealing with Moses fearing to go before Pharaoh, in verse 12, just the A part, to this he said, I will prove to be with you. Just a few words, but so powerful, where Jehovah is guaranteeing that he's going to give them undeniable proof that he's backing them up and never moving away from them one inch. And this gives us comfort. Now, number four, before we conclude the call, we have an ending prayer with them, and we use their names. And this is very comforting since we're calling on Jehovah, the great shepherd. At 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul says, "We urge you, brothers, to speak consolingly to those who are depressed, to support the weak, be patient toward all." And this is exactly what we're trying to do.
Thanks for sharing those thoughts. Very interesting. Brothers Grizzle and Robertson, how has comforting others affected you? Brother Grizzle first, please.
During these challenging times, I sense Jehovah's love for his people. Over the years, I have seen and experienced his care when facing difficult times. Some years ago, I lost my mother, my brother, and my father in death all within a year. And in 2017, I lost my dear wife, Bonnie, after we had served Jehovah together for nearly 65 years. But with much prayer, research, and love of the friends, Jehovah has comforted me. And now, thankfully, I have been able to offer encouragement to others.
Very touching, Brother Grizzle. Thank you. Brother Robertson, how has comforting others affected you?
One of the most memorable challenges was while my wife Linda and I were in the circuit work several years ago. I lost my voice. I had to have surgery on my vocal cords, and for 6 weeks, I could not talk. For a circuit overseer, that's like being a bird without its wings. I wrote more notes in that 6 weeks than I had written in my whole life. But in spite of that, and along with other situations and tragedies that we face similar to Gerald's, Jehovah has seen us through them all. And let me say, it's been a real pleasure to share Jehovah's comfort with so many. And as we do, we see the governing body's interest in all of Jehovah's people, including those with added responsibility. They truly reflect Jehovah's feelings as the God of all comfort.
Well, thank you, brothers. We really appreciate your comments. And more than the shepherding that you do, is the example that you have set in enduring trials, experiencing Jehovah's comfort, and in comforting others. Thank you so much. The governing body has instituted similar shepherding arrangements in branch offices around the world. Now we want to talk to some of you in our audience. Because of stresses, disappointments, and hurt feelings caused by fellow believers, some have strayed from Jehovah's organization. Others may have been removed from the congregation, but now would like to return. To you we say, allow Jehovah to comfort and strengthen you. He wants you to draw close to him, and he will help you. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you." Jehovah has great care for such ones. Let's read what he says at Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16. "The stray I will bring back, the injured I will bandage, and the weak I will strengthen." Some who have recovered have said that one of the most difficult things for them to do was to cross the threshold of the kingdom hall. But remember, it's Jehovah who bandages you, his sheep, helping you to heal. In the same chapter, in verse 12, he says, "I will care for my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered." In imitation of that love, the faithful slave says, "We view you as lost sheep, not a lost cause." To all, we say, no matter what you face, remember, In difficult times, Jehovah always comforts. Throughout our program, we'll hear experiences of brothers and sisters who were comforted by Jehovah. As they share their stories, look for all the ways Jehovah helped them and consider how you can help others. First is the experience of Mwambi Vianney.
I was born in Congo. My family and I, we had to flee. There was a war going on. One thing I remember is the bombs and the shootings that were behind us as we're running. You hear people screaming too. Each day we live, each step we took, we knew that something was gonna happen to our lives. We never knew if we were gonna survive. My mom and I were the only one who survived. And that was one of the reasons we had to go to Rwanda. As someone who were raised in the refugee camp, I can tell you that the life in the camp was not easy. The hardest part was just seeing people facing hunger. And since I never had a big brother to support me, all these kids would come and beat me up, hitting me. I just felt like I was a victim. Even though there was all this sadness, I knew there was God out there who cares for people. So what I did was I started praying to God. Then I started going to the Catholic Church to look for him. At the age of 7, I saw these two women, because I came to learn that they were witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses. I was so inspired by their smile. And these women had like the Bible in their hands, and the track they gave me was about paradise. Now, knowing that there's a hope for the future, there's something good coming, knowing that there's a meaning of life, this brought me so much joy. Then I met this kid who had Witnesses book. As I opened the book, there was a scripture from Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. And in that verse, it shows you must not worship any other gods. When I read these words, I was so shocked. And more than, I was so disappointed of myself, because now I know that I was doing something wrong. I was not worshiping the true God. From there on, I left the Catholic Church. I prayed for the strength to go and look for Jehovah's Witnesses, look for the kingdom. Then later, I went to the meeting. I went to my first meeting. The unity among God's people, that really touched me. And then after that, everybody came and hugged me, showed me this love I never seen before. And more than that, I went home knowing God's name is Jehovah. This name was so special. This name was just like full of strength and spirit. The moment I started using Jehovah's name, the moment I started praying to Jehovah, He became so real to me. He became my big brother. He became more than a big brother. Because when I prayed the first time in Jehovah's name, that day, like all those kids were beating me, who were hitting me up, now wanted to be my friend. And this was the day after I went to my first meeting. Really, Jehovah put a wall between my enemies. Jehovah became my rescuer in that moment. And right here, I knew this is my God. And I was determined to never leave him. I was determined to serve him my whole life. In 2011, we end up moving from Rwanda to the U.S., and I asked this lady if she knew Witnesses, and she said, yes, I know Witnesses. So then, from then, she called them, and I was able to reunite with my brothers and sisters. In 2012, I got baptized, and now I was officially one of Jehovah's Witnesses, one of Jehovah's people. So right after getting baptized, more refugees kept coming in the country. I knew what these refugees went through. I knew the life they live, because I lived through that life. Jehovah allowed me to be able to comfort these people. being in the darkness, it was so hard. But now for everything that Jehovah had done for me, it just felt as if like he pulled me out of this darkness. Like, son, come out. He pulled me out of this darkness toward the light. You come to serve Jehovah. You rely on Jehovah. You make Jehovah your salvation. He show you who he is.
If you're suffering some kind of trial and you're searching for God, be encouraged by Mayombe's story. Jehovah knows your struggles, and he draws all deserving ones to him. Did you notice that Mayombe, having received comfort, was moved to help others? In our next segment, we'll see just how powerful the love of our brothers and sisters can be.
Lakita worked for the city of Virginia Beach. With the city, she was able to get a schedule that allowed her to focus on her ministry. I came home on a Friday. Both my mother and I had doctor appointments that day. And we came home and sat down, getting ready to fix us a bite of lunch. And I got a phone call. It was a family member, and they were asking me if I had saw the news. I immediately tried to call my daughter's phone, and it went straight to voicemail. So I said, well, let me try texting her. So I tried texting her, and I didn't get any response. It was about 10:30 that night when we just finally got the confirmation that we had indeed lost her in that shooting. So, yeah. And I will say that's the worst day of my life. The next day, starting at 7:00 in the morning, friends started pouring in, and we had people in the home to support us and encourage us from morning to night. And it meant so much. It helped us to focus on something else at the time. The love that they showed to us, it was just astounding. It was just so amazing. And that's what helped us to get through it all. It was our family, our spiritual family. The city of Virginia Beach, they volunteered to take care of all of the victims' arrangements. And because of that amount of people, the venue that they decided upon, it was the Opera House in Norfolk. The brothers, they got everything together. The city didn't really have to do anything. They just gave us the venue. And what really impressed them, the city, was that the whole memorial, everything took place within an hour. The city officials were there in attendance. You had the local newspapers who covered it, reporters. The reporters were persistent in wanting to talk. And so actually two of my brothers, they handled all of that information with the guidance from those two brothers who came down. It kept us from having to even worry about that, you know. So it was very helpful. I continue to get cards, I get texts from people, and it just encourages me. Isaiah 41:10, it has become my favorite scripture. I will really hold on to you with my right hand of righteousness. Going through this, I could really feel Jehovah's hand. It's as if he was rubbing my shoulders and saying, it's going to be all right. You'll be all right. I'm going to get you through this. And he has. Each day he gets me through this. If it can happen to someone else, it can happen to me. And in this instance, it did. But that helps me to keep a perspective. And I reflect on how Jehovah is going to reverse it. That's my biggest hope, is to see Jehovah reverse the damage that has been done. He's promised it, and my faith is in the fulfillment of his promises. So I look forward to being reunited with my daughter.
Isaiah 43:2 says in part, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not flood over you. Tragic and unforeseen things can befall faithful servants of Jehovah. We may suffer terribly, but we are not destroyed. We will always belong to Jehovah, the Father of tender mercies. Jehovah is always there for us. But we all lead such busy lives. Our new music video vividly shows the blessings we receive when we make time for Jehovah.
So much to do and so few hours in a day. It's hard to steal away moments to pray, but we have got to find a way to make time for Jehovah. Make him part of your life. Don't let life in this world draw you away. Make time for Jehovah. Friends grow close when words from the heart are shared. But how can we share and see that he cares? How will we know that he's there? Make time for Jehovah. Make him part of your life. But don't let life in this world draw you away. Make time for Jehovah. Make time to see his hand in our life. Make time to see ourselves in paradise. Let nothing get in our way. Make time.
make time to see his hands in our life. What a beautiful expression. Are you your harshest critic? We can be discouraged by our own shortcomings or failures, real or imagined. Notice what can help in the latest episode of our series, Apply Bible Principles.
When I was growing up, my parents always used to say, pray about your spiritual goals. Work hard. And then let Jehovah do the rest. So that's what I did. And wow, did Jehovah pour out the blessings. I even got invited to a branch construction project. And I was pretty excited. At first. Don't get me wrong, it was a privilege to be there. But the work was harder than I thought it would be. There were a lot of new skills to learn. And I have to admit, I really wanted to impress my overseer. So I pushed hard. Maybe a little too hard.
See all that up there? That all needs to come down.
Okay.
Do you think you can wrap this up before tomorrow?
Sure thing. I'm on it.
You can grab Jin and Young to give you a hand with the lift. Jin's a pro. He'll help you out.
Got it.
The job didn't look that hard. And I mean, I had the training. So, if I had waited for them, there was no way we were going to get this done today. The fact is, I had caused some real damage, and I made more work for everyone.
Ian, are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Do you have a minute to talk in my office?
Yeah.
I felt like such a loser. The brothers talked to me, and they were nice about it. But I was still left thinking, what am I doing here? Maybe I should just go home.
James 3:2 says, "For we all stumble many times." But the real question is, when we stumble, and it is going to happen, what should we do then? Yes, Jake.
Well, when Dad was teaching me to ride my bike, I fell a lot. And it was hard, but I just kept getting up and trying again. And now, I can ride pretty fast. So you just have to get back up when you fall.
Yes, that's right. That was a great comment.
Wow, Jake, that's it. I had to swallow my pride and just get back up. I realized I needed to be more focused on the seriousness of my assignment and not so focused on myself. And instead of trying to do everything myself, I set more realistic expectations about what I could do and what I couldn't. I had a lot to learn. So I kept working and learning. and after a while, I even got to help train some of the new volunteers. In the end, I was so thankful to Jehovah for helping me understand that in the race for life, none of us are going to cross the finish line without stumbling. The important thing is to get back up and just keep going.
Some hesitate to draw close to people of different races or nationalities. But they can overcome this by imitating Jehovah's impartiality. The result? Great joy. We'll see an example of this in the following report.
On September 18, 2020, Medikane Yanos, a rare Mediterranean cyclone, struck Greece and flooded a Roma settlement in Mavrica, just outside the city of Karditsa. Local authorities worked alongside emergency services to evacuate over 1,000 Roma who lived there. But a family of seven who are studying with Jehovah's Witnesses were left behind.
It was raining hard and the floodwaters were rising quickly. I took my wife by the hand and carried my child on my back. With great difficulty, we managed to make it to a neighboring house. We were unable to contact the authorities. We were terrified and had no option but to stay there.
We didn't know what to do. We were so scared and worried. We had never experienced anything like this before.
The floodwaters had risen a lot, and we stood waiting for hours. I asked my father to pray for us. He did, many times. There were lots of people in the house, both young and old. They were afraid and they were crying.
Video messages from the family started to come through asking for help. We could see their fear. We wanted to help them, but there was no way for us to go there because access was impossible. All we could do was pray to Jehovah for them and send messages of encouragement.
We were very distressed. Children were crying. I prayed to Jehovah, begging him for peace of mind. I threw all my burdens and anxiety of my heart on Jehovah. Soon, I felt calm and had no anxiety. I felt his spirit giving me strength during the hours that followed until dawn.
The situation was very difficult. They had suffered a lot, and their clothes were dirty. There was no way that I could leave them there.
We were given a house to stay in. We were able to calm down and sleep. The brothers gave us food. I thanked Jehovah for teaching us and taking care of us. He is our Savior.
When I attended the first meeting after the flood, I felt calm again. I tried to keep my routine as normal. Study, meetings, preparing comments. I felt joy and contentment.
My legal documents, such as my ID, were saved from the flood. Our neighbours were not prepared, but we, thanks to Jehovah's direction, had packed emergency bags.
About a week later, we were able to return to Mavrica. The houses were in a terrible condition, full of mud.
The Disaster Relief Committee helped us immediately. Brothers from 300 kilometers away sent emergency supplies.
The Brotherhood showed us love in practice. They worked hard and helped us because they love us. I was deeply touched and found myself in awe. We are united. All of this brought glory and praise to Jehovah.
When we went there to help, the Roma neighbors were very surprised. They asked if we could help them too. We replied that we have to help our family first, our brothers. They were very puzzled that we called our Roma brothers family, since we were not from their tribe.
Ephesians 4:16 finds a good application in this story. Just as every joint in the body offers help, so did the brothers. We all work together to provide help to our brothers in need.
Jehovah is teaching me and helping me. I really trust in him. He has blessed me personally. I've seen how good he is to me. In a miserable world, Jehovah brings me joy. I know that he chooses according to a person's heart. All glory belongs to Jehovah.
In total, 7 members of the Securus family are studying the Bible. 5 who are deaf are studying with a Greek Sign Language group. When the flood struck, about 20 people, including the Securus family, could not be evacuated due to strong currents. At first, other Roma who had been left behind blamed the flood on the family because they were all studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. But after they observed the assistance provided by the brothers and sisters, they said, "You have the true religion. You show genuine love." Our series, My Teen Life, has helped many young witnesses navigate today's realities. Our next episode has to do with association, and we'll hear from a brother and a sister who eventually made good decisions with the help of Bible principles. That may not surprise you, but what we're looking for in this is how. How did they go from knowing Bible principles to applying them?
My parents were both Jehovah's Witnesses by the time I was born. So I studied the Bible, attended meetings, and went out and serviced with them.
Growing up in the truth, I knew that living by Bible standards is what's best for me. And my parents were always so zealous when it came to spiritual things. So when I think back, I just didn't want to let them down.
Following Bible principles is not burdensome or even that difficult. Honestly, if we do as it says in the Bible, then we benefit ourselves.
But at times, I was curious how my life would be if I wasn't in the truth. It was just so fun to be around my school friends.
Overall, I had a good time at school. I got along with my classmates, and my teachers liked me too. So being in school was a pretty good experience.
My parents always told me not to get too close to my classmates. But in my opinion, my friends had good conduct and were good people. I didn't understand why they were so worried.
In my high school, there were a lot of kids who went to church, and many of the teachers had religious backgrounds. One day, there was an incident when the entire school found out I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I knew that some people might be prejudiced against witnesses, but I was surprised to see how everyone could change so suddenly.
I started spending more time with my classmates, but the more I hung out with them, the more I saw that we were living completely different lives. Their conversations would be about trips they went on over the weekend and what they bought on their latest shopping trip. But when it came to me, all I had done was spiritual activities. It felt like I was missing out.
I felt alone and like an outcast. I knew in my head that Bible principles are right and beneficial. But when I was actually put in that situation, I wasn't so sure anymore.
I started to feel like I wasn't as cool as my classmates. So when they started to talk about their life goals, I couldn't bring myself to tell them what my goals were.
So I started thinking, what would be the right way for me to act? Opening up to my parents about my situation really helped. One day for family worship, we decided to discuss that topic. We read Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. "Happy are you when people reproach you and persecute you and lyingly say every sort of wicked thing against you for my sake." But how can you be happy when persecuted? I thought to myself, but I'm not happy right now.
My mom shared Mark 8:38 with me, the part in the scripture where it says that if we are ashamed of Jesus Christ, he will be ashamed of us, really hit me. I realized that deep inside, I had been ashamed of being a witness.
While I was going through all of this, a brother gave a public talk in our congregation and read Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. There it says that everyone who has left what is important to them for the sake of Jehovah will receive 100 times as much. So I decided to try leaving what I thought was important to me and see what results and blessings I might receive.
About that time, my parents helped me to associate with brothers and sisters who were participating in many different forms of full-time service so that I could hear their experiences. That helped me to decide which direction I wanted to go in my life.
One thing that was really great about this decision was that I was able to meet many new brothers and sisters. I realized that there were so many people who had the same thoughts and goals as I did. These were my true friends.
The next time the topic of our future goals came up with my classmates, I was able to speak up confidently. I am really thankful to my parents who helped me to find the courage to do that.
I felt that Jehovah truly keeps his promises. Come to think of it, Jehovah has kept his promise to reward me 100 times as much if I choose to live by the Bible's principles.
I am really happy now, and I am confident that if I follow the Bible's teachings when I make decisions, I will always have the best results.
They were familiar with the Bible, but its value became real to them when they put Bible principles into practice. This month's program underscored that in difficult times, Jehovah always comforts. Servants of Jehovah like Sister Brown and her daughter may suffer terrible blows, but no matter what happens to us, even if we die, we always belong to Jehovah. Bible truths were a comfort to Myombi, who never gave up searching for God. And finally, all of us provide comfort when we show impartial love. Now it's time for our video postcard. This month, we visit our brothers in Alaska. Alaska is in the far northwest corner of North America. One third of it lies within the Arctic Circle. In some areas, temperatures can drop below negative 60 degrees Fahrenheit or negative 54 degrees Celsius. This is a sparsely populated land of glaciers, permafrost, and tundra, and is rich habitat for bears, caribou, moose, whales, and dozens of species of fish. Let's visit the Kuskokwim congregation in Bethel, Alaska. That's right. The village is named Bethel. 22 publishers preach in a territory that includes 13 villages connected by waterways. As the weather and seasons change, so does their choice of transportation. Four-wheelers and snowmobiles are common, since many villages lack roads and cars. This road is actually on top of a frozen river. Here's a caravan of publishers on their way to the village of Kwithluk. To be safe, brothers travel with 2 or more vehicles in case one gets stuck or breaks down. Daily sunlight varies with the seasons from less than 6 hours during winter to more than 19 during summer. The congregation includes 9 regular and 5 special pioneers. An average of 85 Bible studies are conducted every month. In addition to an English congregation, there is a Yupik pregroup. Dog sledding is an important part of Yupik culture. Several races are held here every year. This Bible student is wearing a traditional garment called a kusbuk. Many in the meetings give their comments in Yupik and have them translated into English. Although most publishers aren't fluent in Yupik, They use publications and videos translated into Yupik in the ministry. Baptisms are normally held at conventions and assemblies in the city of Anchorage. But this Bible student made her dedication to Jehovah during the COVID-19 pandemic. Despite the frigid weather, she was baptized in this river. This is where she grew up. Our brothers and sisters from the Kuskokwim congregation in Bethel, Alaska, send their love and greetings to the worldwide brotherhood. From the world headquarters of Jehovah's Witnesses, this is JW Broadcasting.